When I started, I didn't expect anybody to listen to a thing I was putting out there. I didn't really expect anything. It was really interesting to me that people started listening. I do encourage people not to pay attention to who's listening so much early on. So what would I do differently? I think I would relax if I could earlier.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. Hey, podcaster, it's your host, Adam Adams. Today, we are with Reverend Carol Saunders, who actually hosts a really cool podcast called The Spiritual Forum. And you'll find the link to The Spiritual Forum down in the show notes. And she's been doing this for over 230 episodes. She's going strong. She's got 68 ratings. I let her know before, she said she didn't know that, but 68 ratings, that's easily within the top 5% of all podcasts in the entire world. Out of 5 million podcasts, only 5% of them have 68 ratings or more. And she's got that. So I think with you listening today and us having a conversation with Reverend Carol Saunders, you're going to be able to learn, what has she done that's a little bit different? How is she systemizing this? How is she automating this? How does she ask better questions? How does she get better guests? How does she market her podcast so that it can get to the place where she has 68 people giving ratings and reviews for her show? Carol, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Adam?
I'm fantastic. Your whole bio is in the show notes, talking about you being a reverend, talking about you being vegan. If the listener wants to check that out, all they got to do is scroll down and they can get the entire bio. I want to start here. I'm curious about a couple of things. You have published 233 episodes as we're recording now. You publish every single week. Did you ever do more than once a week? Or did you ever do less than once a week? Or has it been consistent like 100% of the time without fail?
No, I start off every other week. And it was actually a very nice pace for me. Yeah, I liked it. Every week is kind of demanding, but I am doing it every week. And probably 3 or 4 times possibly during the year, I reload an episode from a few prior years before just to kind of give myself a break. But I start off every other week.
Okay. So has it been about 4, 5, 6 years since you launched? How long ago did you start?
Yeah, I really need to go back and look. I think it was 2018.
Wow.
I think it's 2018.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll call it more than 5 years.
Yeah. I've never really considered myself such a seasoned podcaster, but I'm starting to feel that way. I think that as you introduced me, it's really interesting because I think the very human thing is to compare yourself to other podcasters. And well, is 68 reviews good enough? Why don't I have 68,000 and that and all of that? And I feel like part of this journey is just doing what is you and being okay with how it unfolds. So I could tie myself up in a wad going, I don't have enough because somebody else has more. There's always going to be somebody who has more, right? So I really appreciate that you're letting me know that that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, it definitely is. And not only that, but the amount of episodes, the consistency of publishing for 5.5, 6 years straight is another huge thing that not everybody can say. A lot of people that I've met have told me that they started a podcast and they got 5 episodes in, they got 10 or they got 20 episodes in, and then they quit. And I always ask, why did you quit? And a lot of it is because of something you said. It's because they are always comparing themselves and they think that they should be further ahead. They think that, oh, I've done 20 episodes, I should have 1 million followers already. And it really comes to that consistency that I think is going to make the biggest difference. I've got one tattoo and it talks about being persistent and determined. because that's how we get endless potential. And for you, you've been going and going and going, regardless if you thought you had 68,000 or 68 ratings. And I'm curious, for the listeners' sake, what do you do, or what have you done, or how do you look at it to just keep going, even when you might get discouraged, like everybody does?
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's interesting, because I've been listening to your podcast and pulling out little pieces that could be helpful to me. But I think, like, I've been thinking, what is it about me and my podcast? I listened to one where somebody spoke about being in service to their listeners. And I thought, is that me? And I really kind of came to sort of, for me, I'm in service to my message. So it's different. I'm in service to my message in a way. And my message is hope and awakening and inspiration. And we're living in a crazy world, so everyone needs a little dose of that. And I have thought that I'm in service to my listeners. I've thought that I'm in service to the people I'm interviewing. But I really think it's the message. So when I get approached by a lot of people to be on my podcast, I get a lot of requests. And they're often authors. They're often, like I said, filmmakers, but mostly authors. And I really look at, does this support the message that I am wanting to convey in the world? And if it does, I have those people on. I've had my own frustrations about, oh, am I being compensated enough? Am I being appreciated enough? All that stuff. You know, is there a balance of energy here? And I've just kind of surrendered to, I'm here to convey a message of hope, inspiration, and awakening, and helping people rise up in consciousness. And that's what I'm committed to. So I don't get stuck anymore, like I used to, into all of the details of, am I getting enough from this? Am I doing this right? Should I have this more? Should I have that more? I'm just like, here to convey a message.
Yeah, I really like that. And I like the idea of being in service to the listener that someone else pointed out. And I like the idea of being in service to your message, yours being hope, inspiration, and awakening. And our listener today has a message that they're probably passionate about. And either way, I think it's going to help us to be able to be more consistent in a podcast. If we're worried too much about how people think of us, if we're worried too much about how many people are listening, if we're worried too much about some of these other like details, it's sounding like, and I agree with you, sounding like it's not what's going to help us prolong our message, is to be able to be consistent. But when we do instead, when we look at what we're passionate about, who is our perfect listener, who our perfect avatar, what is the message that we have? What's our unique way of delivering that? And then just doing it time and time again, you get up to 233 episodes, 68 ratings, and things are going pretty well. Curious, actually, I have more than one question probably for you. You mentioned I get requests from guests and authors, etc. I think our listener today, somebody out there probably is afraid of, maybe I don't start a podcast because here's the blank that they fill in. I'm scared to do. I don't want to do. I don't know if I can do a podcast because I don't know if anybody would be willing to be a guest on my show. Now, with you, Reverend Carol, you've got like people reaching out to you asking to come on. And it's almost like you've got to filter them and you've got to go through and you've got to like decide, is this serving that message of hope, awakening, inspiration that I'm serving? Is this going to be the right person? And so you're almost, in a way, pushing people away or filtering them at least and determining at some points that maybe that's not a good fit. But with the listener's fear of like, I don't even know if anybody would want to come on my show, I'm curious what you've done or what you've learned along the way that's made it so you're not scared to get guests on your show.
Yeah, I think also I do say that people approach me to be on my show, but I also reach out to people. My show is really about conversations and spirituality. I know we're not going to go into my show, but the idea is it's about conversations. I can have conversations with a famous person. I can have a conversation with an author, a filmmaker. I can have a conversation with a guy next door. And for me, my message is spiritual. All four can have an amazing message and an amazing story, because I think everybody has an interesting story to tell. So I really think that one thing that people can do is get unhinge themselves from this idea that I have to have the best guest. I have to have a guest that everyone will listen to. I actually personally have another way of looking at my podcast, and that is, what can I learn from this person? Because I learn something from every guest that I have on. And it doesn't matter to me whether it's some big name or some other just regular person that I know or that I met somewhere, because I can learn something from them. And I feel as long as I'm growing, I'm keeping my passion going, I'm keeping my energy going, and I walk away with, wow, I'm thinking about that now. I'm going to take that into my heart. That's useful to me. And because I think we're all connected, if it's useful to me, it's useful to somebody else out there. And then I just have one other thing I'd like to add. I think we get really stuck on how many people listened to my last podcast. I don't look at it that way anymore. I think what we're putting out there on the sound waves is timeless. So maybe only 100 people listened to it last week or last month or yesterday, whatever the number is, but it's out there. So who's to say that in 5 years, there won't be a whole lot more people listening to it because suddenly they're interested in that. So I also look at it in a kind of a timeless way too.
Yeah, that's really good. I have people that come to launch a podcast, a brand new podcast, and have our company serve them to do that. And when they come, a lot of the times I'll ask them a certain question, and I'm loving your response to this. And I might start sharing part of your response with them when I talk about this subject. Well, I'll always ask, you know, what does success look like for you? And just listen, I get an idea of what success is to that person. And I'll ask if they're in it for the long haul. And I'll ask, are you willing to do this for a minimum of 3 years? Absolute minimum of 3 years. Even if you don't have any listeners in the first 1, 2, or 3 years, are you willing and committed to stay with it no matter what? And when they say no, if I don't have listeners within 6 months, I'm going to quit, we don't serve them. If they say, yep, I get the long game, I get the long picture, I get that it's timeless, then we will go ahead and serve them. If they got a long sight on what the future looks like and they're not trying to think that, oh, I have to have a million listeners or make $1 million in the first week of launching or it's not worth it, we don't serve that person. We want somebody more, we'll call it realistic, or understands that it's a long game, that understands that it takes time, it takes effort, it takes marketing, it takes consistency, it takes the focus on serving our listener or serving the message, and then we'll be fine. So you mentioned that we can really get stuck on how many people listened to my very last episode. We have to understand in 10 years, somebody's going to be listening to that episode. In 9 years, somebody new is going to listen to that episode. So today, it doesn't matter what happened last week. It matters what happens in the next 2, 3, 4, and 10 years. I love that.
I was just going to say, I sometimes think I'm doing this for my grandchildren, even if they don't exist. I have a new grandbaby now, but before I had a grandchild, I'm doing this for my grandchildren. If nothing else, they'll listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
When they grow up and want to know about their grandma, so... And I know that that doesn't really ring well for young people because it's really abstract, but it does kind of create a time horizon that you can relax into.
Yeah. Let me ask you, on your podcast, The Spiritual Forum, which is linked in the show notes for the listeners to check you out. So that's obviously a passion. You have the passion behind the message. You've been doing it regularly for a long, long time. You started every other week and then you went every single week. I'm curious if you found a way to monetize the show or if it's simply a passion project for you.
Yeah, I'm really in that question because right now I'm accepting donations. Right now, my podcast is kind of a part of a broader ministry. And so I accept donations. I ask for them. I also acknowledge anybody who does donate on my podcast, but I also acknowledge anybody who listens and shares. And it's not really paying for itself right now. I'm looking into other ways of monetizing it. But I also just listened to my own gut is not really wanting to go towards advertisements right now. It has to be very consistent with my own voice, my own sense of what I'm trying to put out there. So at this point, I was at the podcast convention, which is where I met you, and there's such a frenzy there. It's, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, and you got to get higher, higher, better, better. And so right now, I'm in a point where probably my costs are about half covered. My labor is certainly not, but my objective is to at least allow get to a place where all of my costs are covered. So I know that could be disappointing to some people because, like you said, they want to make the thousands of dollars a month. I may shift to some sort of a platform that's advertising, or I may shift to a membership. I have that on my horizon to look at in the next year, but I'm not there right now.
And how do you get those donations? You mentioned that you accept donations because it's part of a broader ministry. Is that something that's mentioned on the podcast? Is that something that's mentioned when you're in front of a congregation or something else or all three?
Yeah, I mention it. I don't have a church right now. I do mention it on my podcast. And I've even asked my guests if they're interested in donating. Some have, not many. But I think I'm providing a platform for them to get their message out. And so I say, if you want to donate to this, and here's kind of what my costs are, and this is my time allotment, and here's where you can do it. And it's not like everyone donates, but I do get some. And because I really believe that when you benefit from something, that you really, the thing that will kind of keep you in flow is to give back. And so I give to podcasts sometimes. You know, I listen to this for 6 months. This is a great podcast. And I'll just write them a check because thank you. You've enriched my life. So that's kind of where I am right now.
Awesome. So if you're listening and I've enriched your life, just reach out to me and I'll give you my address. You can send me blank checks. So Carol, you mentioned that you're accepting donations. You mentioned that the costs aren't covered. Costs are getting covered, maybe not all the labor. You also mentioned that you talk about it on the podcast and you mention it to the guests and you say something, and I hope I'm quoting you right. Here's where you can do it. Here's the place that you go to invest or to support the show. Where is that place? Like, if we want to follow, what do we do in order to have a place for somebody to donate or support our show?
Oh, that's a really good question. See, I have a website. My podcast is on a website. So it's thespiritualform.org. And I have a little about me thing. And I also do retreats. So I have a page on the retreat. And I have a page that has all of my episodes. And there's a little more information on those show notes on my website. So that's the way I do it. I know a lot of podcasters don't have a website, but I do.
So they go to thespiritualform.org. Which that link will be in the show notes in case our listener is able to support you. Thespiritualforum.org. And then what happens? Is there a link at the top? Is there a gray button, a green button? Is it a secure website? Do they use credit cards? How does it happen after that?
Yeah, it's a yellow button.
A yellow button.
It's a donate button. Yeah. Okay. So just scroll down. You see the button and it'll say donate. And it goes through PayPal.
Okay, cool. So go straight to PayPal. And have you considered, I always forget this, I think it's called Patreon. Have you considered using Patreon through your podcast since you don't know if you want to have advertisers, but you also know that you want to cover the costs? Is that a consideration? And if so, why do you use it or why wouldn't you use it?
Yes, that is under my consideration. When I came back for the podcast, actually not when I came back, I sat at the bar by myself while I was there.
And it sounds lonely.
It was lonely, but I'm telling you, there were thousands of people there. It was really nice to get away from the crowds.
What was the Reverend drinking at the bar by herself?
Well, I like gin. And so it was some crazy gin drink with this massive ice cube, but it was really strong. I only needed one.
Okay.
Anyway, I put together my little plan of what I got out of this whole convention and what are the next things I want to do. And I want to look at Patreon. I'm not sure about it. I do know that there's other platforms that allow kind of a membership level, and I am looking at that. What keeps me from doing that is just the idea of doing more work. So, you know, podcasting is like that. When you podcast weekly, it's demanding. There's a lot. And so it's like, can I do that and also provide more content? And so that's kind of where I am. I just finished leading this massive retreat, and now I'm kind of in a regrouping, and I'm going to be looking at some of these things that I came away with from the podcast convention, and that's one of them.
Okay. So one of the things slowing you down, at least, maybe not keeping you from it completely, but slowing you down, is if I do Patreon, then I might have to do even more work, which kind of means to me that a lot of the times when people use Patreon, they have, oh, you get this extra bonus. You get these more episodes. You get calls with me, and fill in the blank. You get this extra thing on top. And I think that Patreon doesn't have to only be used that way. I don't use it myself. I monetize my show by selling coaching, like serving other podcasters. So I'm not worried about utilizing Patreon or anything like that. All of my content is just going to be free. I don't have a donation button, but I'm thinking through it. And at least I am believing that, hey, it might be like closed-minded to think you have to add more work. It could be potentially possible to even have like a $1 or $3, a $5 or $10, and a $20 or $100 option for nothing else except for, hey, they just want to support the podcast by donating $100 a month or whatever it is. I think you could probably still do that. That's just me thinking out loud. With your podcast, you've done 233 episodes as we're recording today, and even more by the time this episode launches. And I'm curious what you would do completely differently if you were just starting the podcast right now, thinking in terms of how many episodes to produce each week, thinking in terms of the type of guests that you have, thinking in terms of the microphone that you used in the beginning. If you started completely over, what would you go back and maybe tell yourself, hey, these are some important things to get you off on the right track?
That's a really interesting question, because my challenge has been kind of unique. My challenge has been, maybe what I would do is buy another house that has better internet connection. I have so much frustration with the internet. I'm constantly going to different places to try to get different internet. Really, I think that I look back and I'm really happy with the way I start off every other week. Honestly, when I started, I didn't expect anybody to listen to a thing I was putting out there. I didn't really expect anything. It was really interesting to me that people started listening. I do encourage people not to pay attention to who's listening so much early on. So what would I do differently? I think I would relax, if I could, earlier in this frenzy that the podcasting industry puts us in. And as we start off saying, just don't pay attention to all those numbers, because everybody says, pay attention to the numbers, watch everything, watch your metrics, do this, do that, do that. And I just find that not helpful, especially not in the beginning. I don't find that helpful at all. I think I would recommend that people just follow their heart and do what their heart tells them. And also, people say, what does your audience want to hear? I think it's better to not worry so much about that and go, what does your heart want to speak? What does your heart want to convey? Because I think that's what's going to really translate for an audience to be attracted to you. So I guess what I'm saying is less worry on the external things, less worry on, am I meeting my audience's needs, and more on the inner journey. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that it's insightful as well. I mean, I can't say that I'm 100% like that I would tell everybody, don't ever look at your numbers. I can't say that I wouldn't say to somebody, don't figure out how to serve your avatar at a high level to be able to support your listener. But there's some things in there that I think are really insightful. And my favorite one is A, to not stress so much. I think one of the reasons why people fail is because of that stress. It's because that put a lot of pressure on themselves. They look at the numbers and they think, oh, I should have been here. And so the insight from you about at least just like less worry about this, less worry about the external things, less worry about that. And at least thinking like, hey, what do I feel would be compelling and serve my listener? You mentioned, Reverend Carol, that you listen to my podcast to get more ideas. And I'm recording multiple episodes, and a lot of my solo episodes, a lot of them aren't only for a podcaster. I just recorded 6 episodes yesterday night, and one of the episodes was simply about gratitude and expressing gratitude and practicing gratitude and feeling gratitude and just all the benefits that it can do with us in our personal life, how we treat our children, how we treat our spouse, how our business does, how our stress and our cortisol level, our own hormones can feel because of what we're allowing to have happen, and that it can benefit you in a podcast as well. But
I listened to that one.
The idea of gratitude, like, it isn't specifically for a podcaster, but I felt compelled, like, hey, my heart wants to speak this. I think it'll still benefit my listener, even if it's not just like, hey, what mic should you use? You know what I mean?
Oh, right. I mean, that benefits your listener a lot. I really like that episode. And I think it's really important to be grateful for your listeners. I always say, thank you, listeners, for being here. Thank you for anything you do to support this. It does. It lifts you up. And I think that all of us are kind of on a hero's journey. All of us are embarking on something. I shouldn't say all of us. Anybody who's embarking on podcasting or something new, we've chosen this as our avenue to express ourselves and to grow ourselves. So we're going to be faced with all sorts of challenges right away. Our resilience is going to be tested. Our determination is going to be tested. Our self-love, our will is all going to be tested. But this is the journey we've chosen, the podcasting journey. We could have chosen another journey. So, of course, we should expect all these obstacles because we're on a hero's journey. And at the end, we'll be successful in some new way. So that's kind of how I look at it as well. And I think that having those general messages, like about gratitude, completely enhances the podcasting experience.
I'm glad you say that. And obviously, I do agree with that. And I like this idea of the hero's journey, that we're all on our own journey, and really good stuff. I want to find out, we'll take a quick break, and I want to find out when we get back on a few things. So one of them is your best advice for a podcaster, but another is just thinking about any mistakes that you've made along the way that you could support the listener today by not making that same mistake. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that, like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Reverend Carol Saunders from the Spiritual Forum, which that link is in the show notes. If you want to check it out. We've already got lots of insights from her perspective, the way that she looks at her podcast. We've learned quite a bit. A couple of things that we've learned so far is part of the journey is just doing what is you. We've learned so far that, you know, we could think about serving our listener. We could think about serving our message. Hers is hope, awakening, and inspiration. She talked about rise up in consciousness. That's what she wants her listener to do. Basically, she's building a movement and not just a podcast to be able to help people rise up in consciousness. She talked about, I get requests from guests and authors, etc. And sometimes we could think about, how am I going to be compensated? How am I going to be appreciated? And really, ultimately, we want to just serve. We want to serve that listener, or we want to serve our message. She talked about a thing that people can do to get basically unhinges themselves as being like, oh, I need the best top guest or the biggest name, where she had taught us that she learns from everybody, even the person right next door to her. We talked about you can learn something from everybody. We talked about you can get stuck on how many listeners you really have or how many people listened to that last episode. And she said, I think we got to just put it out there and it's going to be timeless. She talked about how she makes a little bit of money, like how she supports her podcast through the broader ministry. And one thing she'll do is mention to people that they can go to her website, which is thespiritualforum.org. And in that website, there's a yellow button. And they can donate toward the podcast. And one of my favorite sayings that she said is, like, she talked about the flow, and what keeps you in flow is to give back. So if you're learning, if you're making money, if you're getting success, if you're benefiting, it's natural. It's a reciprocity to keep that flow and to give back. But one of the things she would do differently is get better internet. And for me, I got like a crazy high internet when I decided that I'm going to be podcasting from home, or even when I had my office for several years podcasting. I paid for them to double the strength of the highest internet from anyone in the entire city. That's not a lie. It's not an exaggeration. It's not a joke. My internet was faster, twice as fast than any single human or business in the entire city that I was in. And why did I care about it? It's because I need my podcast, the internet, to be strong so I can record those episodes. She talked about every other week versus weekly. She talked about relaxing earlier, not being on a number friendly, less worry about the external things, knowing her avatar and her audience, but also thinking about what her heart wants to speak in that hero's journey. Before the break, we talked about coming back and discussing her biggest mistakes and lessons learned, and also finally ending with the best advice ever. So Reverend Carol Saunders, what are a few mistakes that you've made along the way through your podcast and you've learned lessons that you can support the listener with?
Okay. Yeah, I think we all make mistakes, and it really is important to kind of put that in perspective because we learn from our mistakes, right? So I think one thing that I would say is a mistake possibly is not getting clear on your message and kind of getting out on the fringe of what you're trying to accomplish. And then suddenly it's like, why am I over there when everything else is over here? So I'm not sure I'm being clear on that. But I think a mistake that I may have made on a couple occasions is having guests on that didn't quite fit my message. And so I learned it's really important to stay honed on my message. I've had so many mistakes, so many technical problems. I feel I'm still making them. I've actually had to have a couple guests come back because the recording didn't work. And that's just kind of a mess to be in. I've done it.
So tell us how that happened. You've had to do it three times, but what specifically was the thing that we need to avoid so that we don't have to record the same things over and over and over?
Yeah, I mean, this could be like small, but it's like not having my Shure mic and headphones assigned to the platform. So I'm sitting here with my great equipment, but the mic that is recording is my computer mic. And so the whole interview went well, but I sound like I'm coming through my computer mic when I thought I was being recorded with my higher tech equipment. That's happened.
I've done the same thing
twice.
I've done the same thing more than that. And I'm impressed because if you've only done it two or three times and you have 233 episodes, and I've done it like a dozen times and I have like 1,000 episodes. And the last time I did it was like last month, just a few weeks ago. I'm impressed. Still a great learning lesson for the listener today, yes. Knowing that you might be right next to this microphone. You might be making sure that you're not turning your head too much or looking up or moving back, but it's not even the one that's connected. It's like useless. I've done it,
like,
and I've done it recently.
So good.
Wow.
So frustrating. And then to ask your guest to come back, it's like, I have to say, the first time I did it, I was much early on in my process and I didn't ask her to come back. I ended up just transcribing my own part and re-recording my own part and having it interjected with what she said. But I've learned to just tell people, look, I messed up. Do you want to re-record? And I do think that if you end up in that situation, one thing that can definitely happen is you can get very attached to your first conversation. Your second, for me anyway, will be completely different from your first one. Mine is. I have very organic interviews. So just to have to release, you got to release that you're not going to say the same things, cover the same points. That one's gone. Now I'm going to do a new one and it's going to be the right and perfect one. So
I love that.
That's kind of my advice if you make that mistake.
Is there another mistake that you wanted to mention or lesson learned that you wanted to mention? Or should we stay with the two big ones that you've brought up?
Yeah, let's stay with those two.
So the first one is not being clear on the message. So what's the reverse? Being clear. So she realized that when recording, she was kind of on the fringe of the content that she wanted to cover. And the way that she's fixing that is just getting as clear on the message that she wants to share, getting clear on the avatar she wants to share it with, and or the message that she's really passionate about to be able to help her people. Secondly, is she's had on some guests. Well, this is really three, I guess. A, because number two, you've had guests on that don't quite fit the message. And so you're not doing that anymore. You're really important to stay honed in on the message. And I guess you've made a mistake with recording equipment, thinking that you were using the right one, but it wasn't actually connected. So I say to the listener today, have a checklist. Just have yourself a little checklist, even if it's three things. Even if it's, am I using my right mic? Do I know who I'm interviewing? And do I know who my avatar is? Those three things might be really, really important for you. I wanted to ask you, Carol, through your learning lessons, through your 200 plus episodes, and I guess almost 6 years, five and a half, 6 years of recording podcasts, have you learned something along the way that you could share with the listener about this, getting better content from your guest by either doing pre-interviews or how the pre-interview might go, or asking better questions, or anything around that to make sure that the content really serves your message and serves your perfect person? Have you learned anything that you could share around getting better content out of guests?
Yeah, I'm still evolving on that. So, you know,
Me too.
I think a lot helps to put your expectation up front. That doesn't mean that your guest is going to read it or abide by it. But I have very organic conversations, so I don't even go in very often with a list of questions. I may have a couple, but I'm really interested in hearing the person's story. And then I listen, I draw out from them what I think is pertinent, and I have a conversation based on that. And we just kind of go from there. Now, what can happen is my guest can just talk way too long. That can happen a lot. And so I try to let them know, okay, so I'm going to ask you to tell me your story up front. And I'd like for that to be 10 minutes. Because some people like to talk and they talk and talk and talk and talk.
Let me interrupt you really quick. When your guests go too long and you say, I'd like that to be 10 minutes. If you interview me on your show, I'm just going to be honest with you. You should be like 5 minutes, a max of 10. And then I'll go 12. And then I'll go 12. But if you give me 10, then I'll probably go 20.
Right.
So just be cautious with that.
There you go. I think that's where I am. So I'm saying I'm evolving. I think that's where I am, where people will just talk too long. Now, I'm interested. I just don't know if I'm going to hold my guests, I mean, my listeners that long. I'm interested because people do have interesting stories. There's so much in people's stories. And some people have fascinating stories. And so you do want to hear them all. But you also want to have the opportunity to have a conversation. Because for me, I think it's important to have a conversation, not just question, answer, or not just listen, and then now we're finished. I guess what I'm saying in terms of advice is I try my best to set the stage up front. We want to have a conversation. My guests want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear either of us do a soliloquy. And so I try to, this is
now
what
you're
I've
using words
to.
That I don't understand. Soliloquy? What
it's
language
like
is that?
Shakespeare. That's in Shakespeare. That's when you have, it's like a monologue,
okay.
A long monologue.
Monologue.
Yeah.
Thank you for embarrassing me in front of my listener today. Soliloquy. Did I even say it right?
You did.
Okay. All right. So no soliloquies, but have a conversation. I like that. I really also loved the insight about how you mentioned that you set the stage up front with your guest. And specifically, let them know that you're looking to have a conversation, not just a Q&A, not just a question and answer. And I think that that's beneficial so that they kind of are aware of that. And then, if you tell me you got 2 minutes to do this or 10 minutes to do this, it's going to just always take me slightly more than double. You say two, I take five. You say 10, I take 22. So be careful. If you got someone like me that could be long-winded, how long to tell them?
Yep.
I'd be like, something around 5 minutes, max of 10. Then the person's like, okay, I've got 5 minutes, or I'm going a little over, but now I'm going to end. But then they won't take 22. Or then Adam Adams won't take 22. Good stuff. So lots of mistakes, learning lessons about guests, about headphones, microphones working, making sure that they work, using a checklist. Making sure that you bring on guests that have the right message, that will fit the message, and also be clear on what that message is. And we don't have to be on the fringe. We can be right there. Best advice that you would mention to a brand new podcaster today?
Well, since I have a spiritual focus in my life, I would say my best advice is to love yourself through all of this and just really be kind to yourself and to know that you've been called to do this work. And podcasting is really, it's the power of the voice. I mean, there's a whole energy center here. And so anybody who takes on podcasting is taking on this idea that my voice matters. I want to create a platform for it and amplify it. And, you know, right there, I would say, congratulations. That's exciting that you know this about yourself and to stick with it, but love yourself through the process. So my advice isn't very technical. It's not really about podcasting specifically. It's really more human advice, because I think if this is what you've decided to do, to continue to listen to your inner voice, to continue to listen to your heart, and to allow yourself to be called forward to do what your voice is asking you to do.
Mm, that's a great place to end today's episode. To the listener, don't go anywhere. I'll see you on the next episode. And remember, you can find Carol's website and her podcast link and her bio all down in the show notes. Just scroll down and connect with her there. See you on the next episode. You're not alone if you're ready to either get your very first affordable microphone or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to some legit podcasting studio equipment. Because on all of the forums over the last few months, I'm seeing this all the time. Even my own personal clients that work with my team, they're ready to get that next microphone. They're asking us for it. Additionally, when I'm on discovery calls with potential clients, they're always asking for this stuff. Hey, what mic do you recommend? Hey, what lighting do you recommend? What webcam should I be using? So many questions. And so what we did, my whole team has put together a PDF so that if you're one of those people who is looking to either get your very first affordable microphone, or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to more professional podcast studio equipment, whether it's soundproofing or whatever, we've got you covered by going to growyourshow.com/PDF. And you can download the PDF for free, or right there on the webpage is everything that you would have and you don't need to download the PDF. Either way, just go to growyourshow.com/PDF, which will put you to the podcasting equipment that me and my team have personally vetted. I'll see you on the next episode.